Again, we'll be in 1 Corinthians 12, and if there's time, we'll get to Romans 12. Let me pray for us. Father, again, we just thank you that you've gathered us here this morning. And Lord, we look forward to being transformed by your word. Lord, will you just speak to us out of these scriptures? Will you speak to us through your Holy Spirit? Lord, may every word that comes out of my mouth be straight from your heart. Lord, we just want to hear from you today, and we want to really be transformed and get this. And so, Lord, we just invite you to speak. As always, we take authority over the atmosphere in this room, and we bind any spirit that would cause a distraction in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause confusion in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause doubt in the name of Jesus. And we bind any spirit that would cause one to feel inferior in the name of Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit is free to move and to speak and to have its way in this place. And Holy Spirit, we do long for you and ask for your presence to come and to be with us in this place. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for eons now, we've been in a series on living in the Spirit. And last Sunday, I began a two-part ending to that series. I can't even end a series without doing a series. And so we started talking about spiritual gifts last Sunday, and last Sunday was really an introduction to spiritual gifts. My intention had been to this week talk about the gifts a little bit more specifically, and I'm not sure we'll get there, but maybe. We'll see. What I want to do, this whole series has been living in the Spirit, right? And as I studied this series for weeks, months, preparing for it, and I just see all of the stuff in our scriptures about living in the Spirit. Like, Paul talks about that a lot. Living in the Spirit, every day, being in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, being guided by the Spirit, letting the Spirit's presence show the way, all of that. It's supposed to be day-to-day living. And spiritual gifts are no different. I talked about this a lot last week in my introduction. I talked about how one of the things that prevents us from really walking in spiritual gifts is we kind of tend to just put the gift on the shelf and save it for a special day. Like, I'll use that at church, or maybe if I go to a conference, or maybe there's a special, it's like grandma's special china that she would only use on Christmas Day. Sometimes we treat our spiritual gifts that way. We just kind of only bring them out on a special occasion. Gifts are supposed to be every day. We're supposed to be living in the Spirit and using our gifts every single day. And that's what the church is supposed to be, and that's what the world needs to see. Even before I read the text, I want to talk to you a little bit about the power of testimony. And then we'll read the passage, and then maybe we'll look at some gifts. As we live and walk in the Spirit, and as we learn to really press into our gifts, we're going to see God do some stuff. That's the whole point, right? But it's important to remember that as we press into God and we see stuff happen, it's important to give testimony to what God does. And I may share a few stories as we go along today, and I want you to understand why I do that. Because the testimonies describe the character of God. The stories of how God works are a picture of who God is. It reveals the nature of God. And so if I tell a story, it begins to reveal a little bit about who God is and his nature, in his character. The more we get to know God, the better we study him, the more we see the way that God works, the more it reveals to us who he really is and his nature. So there's power in testimony. We don't give testimony to bring glory to ourselves or to the person or to say, hey, look at me and look at what happened. We always look at a testimony with a lens to see the character and nature of God, because it reveals something about him and who he is. And as we begin to learn to live in the Spirit in greater measure and press into that, as we press into our gifts and we begin to see more stuff happening, our lives begin to point toward the nature of God. So that anybody in the community should be able to look at us, point at us and say, that person looks like God to me. Scripture says we're supposed to have the aroma of Christ. And as we walk in our gifts, we reveal his nature and we give off that scent. And so it's important when we give testimony to always look at the nature of God that reveals. Amen? All right, let's read this passage. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between gifts, or distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, until still another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them each one just as he determines. Amen. Now, even before we begin to look at these, one of the things that was just even perking in me last night, this morning, is spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. We talked about this last week. Last week we covered verses 1 through 7 here. It's a gift of grace. Remember, we looked at the wording, and it was unmerited grace in these gifts. And it's something that the Lord gives to us. But at the same time, we have to keep in mind that the enemy doesn't want us to have it. Because if we really begin to walk in our gifts, and if we really begin to live in the Spirit, we will begin to fully be who Christ intended us to be. The church will be who Christ intended to be, and the enemy doesn't want that. And so the enemy will do every single thing he can to prevent us from walking in our gifts and stepping into a life in the Spirit. The only way we can stay in our gifts and stay in the Spirit is to contend. And I think that's a lost art in the church today is contending. And by contending, I mean like really like fighting earnestly in prayer to stay deep into the Spirit and to stay deep into the gifts and to see spiritual warfare for what it is when it is. If you're driving to work, when you're driving to church and you suddenly get sick, that's spiritual warfare. Contend. You know, I was reminded of a story this morning. As I was just reading through my notes, I remember several years ago when Vanessa was attending here before her and Jose moved out of the area. Vanessa was supposed to be on worship team that Sunday, and she calls me early Sunday morning and she says, I'm not going to be there. I put my back out and I'm in excruciating pain. I can't even get out of bed. I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, okay, Vanessa, let's pray right now on the phone. And so I just began to pray and contend, and to rebuke whatever was coming against her. I knew it wasn't an actual thing. Her back was fine. And so I just began to pray over the phone and contend. And all of a sudden, she's like, okay. And I click. 10 minutes later, bam, she comes bursting in the door. She comes running. I'm here. The enemy wants to do everything he can to keep you from church and to keep you from living in the Spirit and to keep you from walking in your gifts. And it can't just be something like, oh my gosh, something's going wrong, I guess I better pray. If you want to begin to walk in gifts, if you want to begin to see this stuff happen in your life, it starts with contending prayer on a daily basis. It starts with crying out to God to be in his presence. Gifts always originate in his presence. I can't expect to suddenly begin to operate in gifts unless I'm operating in presence. And I have to protect the gift. I have to protect the Spirit in me through contending prayer every day of the week. Does that make sense? And it's a fight. It's not going to be easy. The enemy's not going to roll over me like, oh, okay, well, they prayed. I'm done. You pray, and he's going like, all right, I'm going to wrap it up a notch. See how you do with that. And so we pray a little harder. We contend a little more. Verse 8. We covered 1 through 7 last week. Verse 8. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the same Spirit. The message of wisdom. If you look up that word in the Greek, it gives definitions like wisdom, insight, and intelligence. But this context and the way that the word is used, it's referring to the wisdom of God. So the word there, the message of wisdom is the wisdom of God. This is when we have that unique ability, that unique understanding of understanding the things of God. Being able to explain something to God, maybe the ability to explain something about God to others. Sometimes you listen to a certain individual explaining scripture or whatever, and you're just like, oh my gosh, that is such deep revelation. That person probably has the gift of wisdom. What do you think? Does the world that we live in today need a gift of wisdom in operation? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And so this is one of the gifts that the Lord has given to the church. And we need people practicing this gift. We need people using the gift of wisdom. Again, today I'm not going to go into detail describing how the gifts function. That's another teaching for another day. It takes me four or five parts to explain how the gifts work. Today, I'm talking about how we live in the Spirit with our gifts. Message of knowledge. The word translated as knowledge here means esoteric knowledge. This is knowing something that you couldn't have known through normal means. This tends to be past tense, knowing something that did happen that you would have had no way of knowing any other means. But it's for the benefit and the encouragement of the people or of the church. Remember, we looked at this last week, but the gifts are always for the common good. They're always for the common good of the church. God will reveal certain things to me that I will give to someone as a word of knowledge. This is one of my stronger gifts. Every year I'm invited to go up to the Green Lake Vineyard Pastor's Retreat and do an entire day of giving words of knowledge to people. They sign up for a 15-minute appointment, and they come, and they'll just stand in front of me for 15 minutes, and for 15 minutes, I'll just pray over them and give words of knowledge. And I got to be honest with you, it gets freaky. Like, I mean, there's the expression in the Vineyard, reading someone's mail. Like, I can read the fine print on the back side of the mail. I've literally told someone, like, their entire life story. Because there was something in that story that God needed to touch. But the church needs this gift in operation. I remember just recently I was praying for this woman, and I'm kind of describing the details of her life. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of her life, I see a blank segment. I'm like, there's a piece of your life missing. And she starts to cry. And I began to name specific things about that piece of time in her life that were missing. You see, it was in that time frame that her parents got divorced. And as a child, she just blocked everything out and just became isolated in her own little world. And the Lord wanted to restore that time of her life to her, give her childhood back to her, and heal her of all of those wounds. And so the word of knowledge about that missing piece of her life led her to an incredible place of healing. We need this in the church. Maybe that's one of you. Maybe that's one of your gifts. And we need it in operation, not just some of the time, but every day. Every day. Verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Faith is key to all the spiritual gifts, and we know that the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But some people will walk in a supernatural gifting of faith. Like, they just have crazy faith. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, had crazy faith. George Mueller, if you've ever read a biography on George Mueller, if you haven't, do it. Just go buy a biography on George Mueller and read it. That dude had crazy faith. He ran orphanages in England, multiple orphanages. Never once in his entire life ever did he ask for a penny of money. He always just had the faith that the Lord would bring the money from these orphanages, and the Lord did. But some people will have that. George Mueller and John Wimber had that as a gift. People will have that kind of a gift, and we need that in the church. We need people with that kind of extraordinary faith. Jesus told us that we could tell mountains to go jump in a lake. There's people that are going to be gifted with that level of faith. Man, the church needs that. To another, gifts of healing. anyone can pray for healing and expect God to show up. It's all about the Holy Spirit and bringing glory to Jesus. But there will be those people who uniquely have this as a gift. Maybe that's you. Maybe you are God's answer for cancer. Maybe you are God's answer for the health woes of the world that we live in. At this point in my ministry and career, I've seen everything under the sun healed. I've seen broken bones healed and people leave their crutches behind. I've seen legs lengthened. I've seen tumors disappear. I've seen two shriveled hands just open up and become normal. This is supposed to be normal. This is supposed to be every day. This is what the church is supposed to be about. People should be lined up at our door looking for healing. Because those who have the gift of healing are exercising it and operating in it. And, as I talked about last Sunday, it's not just for here at the church. We take it to work. We take it to Walmart. We take it to the bank. We take it to Mariano's. If you've got the gift of healing, it goes with you. Did you know that? I've been in Chamber of Commerce meetings, which is a really important business meeting. A lot of people are all dressed up, and I've looked at people and just spoke a word of healing over them. They've gotten healed right in the middle of a chamber meeting. This is what living in the Spirit is. Some of our computer programs have that pack and go option. Jesus gave us that pack and go option with gifts. Do you notice how he keeps saying, by that one Spirit, by that one Spirit, by the same Spirit? It's all about the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that is in Christ that raised him from the dead is in me, it's in you. All of these gifts come from the Holy Spirit. And that takes away the pressure on us, because so often when people are first leaning into a gift, they're like, well, I don't know how to do that. I'm like, that's okay, because you don't need to. Holy Spirit's got it. There's a few things that we need to learn. There's a few things that we learn and we train so that we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, but the gift is all him. Verse 10. To another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. The first one, miraculous powers. A good way to translate it literally would be supernatural deeds. I think a great example of this is 2 Kings chapter 6. It says, they went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. And as one of them was cutting down the tree, an iron axe head fell into the water. Oh, my Lord, he cried out. It was borrowed. The man of God asked, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick, threw it there, and made the iron float. Lift it out, he said. The man reached out his hand and took it. There are people that will have that kind of unique gifting to do supernatural deeds. Do you think that could be helpful in our world? Jesus feeding the 4,000, Jesus feeding the 5,000, Jesus walking on water. Read the book of Acts. All of those stories in the book of Acts, guess what? All of that's still available for us today. We shouldn't read the book of Acts and be like, oh, wow, what a wonderful time. I wish I lived then. Guess what? You do live then. It's the same Spirit, it's the same God, and his motives and intentions are still the same. So we should have people operating in supernatural gifts of miracles. Prophecy. The word translated here means an inspired utterance. An inspired utterance. This is really a word from the Lord. The message of wisdom is like divine understanding about God. Words of knowledge is speaking something that God has revealed us to us, particularly about the past. Prophetic is like almost becoming God's mouthpiece. Like, this is God saying something for the present moment. Of course, any prophetic word that we give has to agree completely with Scripture. It's really easy to see if a prophet is from God or not. Is what he's saying aligning with Scripture? There's goofiness going on out there right now. And it doesn't align with Scripture. Today, because we live in the new covenant era, And because we have the Holy Spirit, because we are past the cross of Jesus Christ, the prophetic gift will be different than the Old Testament prophets. Sometimes we say they were capital P prophets, and now today it's small P prophets. Whatever. It's just different. We're not going to run around saying, thus saith the Lord, and we're not going to try to predict the end of the earth and gloom and doom. That's all goofiness. I know there's plenty of people out there doing that, but that's not what this gift is. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but everyone who prophesies to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. It's really, really easy to run a prophetic word through that grid. Strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Also speaking on this gift in 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. There's supposed to be a lot of prophets in the New Testament church. There's supposed to be a lot of people with this gift. The only gift that Paul puts any emphasis on is this one, prophecy. And then he gives us the grid for how to use it. We don't have to get goofy with this stuff. Prophetic statements, again, it can be something toward the future, the Lord speaking for the strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. A great story that I like to share, a testimony. Years ago, I was preaching at our mother church, Lavinia, and they met in an old movie theater. It was quite large, and it, you know, went way back and up. But during the preaching, they would turn off the lights out there and just have lights on the stage, and so you almost couldn't see who you were preaching to. And I'm in the middle of preaching, and all of a sudden, the Lord gives me a prophetic word for the guy in the back row on the left. I could only see him because he was wearing a totally white shirt. I had him stand up. I go, you're unemployed. He says, yes. And I said, you're about to get a job. And then I told him where he would get the job and the time frame that it would happen. 2 weeks later, that church calls me and says, guess what? He got the job at the place you said, and it was in the time frame you said. So then they shared that testimony with that church so that that church could see the character and nature of God. See, I wasn't there anymore. I was a guest. I'm gone. 2 weeks later, they can just stand up and say, hey, you remember when that word was given about this guy and where he would go to work and when it would be? God did that. See, we need this gift in the church for the strengthening, encouragement, and comfort of the people of the church. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're the prophet. The next gift in this verse is distinguishing between spirits. This is the unique spirit-led ability to tell whether something is from the spirit or from the enemy. People with this gift can often see demons. They can often see angels. But they can tell the difference, and they can even tell the difference in an atmosphere. This isn't a real strong gift of mine, but I can generally sense an atmosphere that's not right. But I'll have people come up to me and point out something and say, there's a demonic spirit over there or in that person. And then I can test it by simply using my authority, and I'll see if it was right. Imagine that. The enemy likes to hide. The enemy likes to do his work in a covert nature, hiding in darkness, hiding behind the veils of sin and other things. And if somebody with the gift of distinguishing spirits can just look at it, see what Satan is doing, and call it out, his cover is blown. If we got people operating in the gift of discerning spirits in the church, there's almost nowhere the enemy can hide. A great example of this is in Acts 16:16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. The girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." That sounds pretty legitimate, doesn't it? She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, not the girl, the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. You You see, she's saying these are men of God. They're telling you the way to be saved. That sounds right. But a person with discerning spirits can look at that and go, that's not the right spirit, and cast it out. That's a fun gift. Unfortunately, this has also been one of the most neglected gifts of all of the gifts. For whatever reason, the church has kind of wanted to, you know, we'll pray for healing, but that discerning spirits thing, that gets weird. I have met far too many people who actually thought they were crazy because they had this gift. There's someone in our own congregation that this was the case. She came to me and she began to describe the things that she would see, and she was beside herself. She really thought that perhaps she was mentally ill. And she described it, and I said, no, you have the gift of discerning spirits. She just began to weep tears of joy. Like, wait a minute, this is actually a good thing? Yeah. And I taught her how to work in that gift. We can blow the enemy's cover and expose all of his little dirty schemes when we operate with gifts of discerning spirits. The next one is speaking in different kinds of tongues. I talked about this a little bit 2 weeks ago on Pentecost Sunday. This is both known languages and unknown languages. This is for the nations, as I talked about on Pentecost Sunday. But it's also a form of worship. It's also a way of connecting with God. Paul tells us that this gift is just like any other. There are certain segments within the Christian church that want to overemphasize tongues. There are churches that would go so far as to say, well, you know what, you're not really saved, brother, until you speak in tongues. Show me that in Scripture. The only gift that Paul puts an emphasis on is prophecy. But the gift of tongues is an important gift. It must be in the church and must be used. There are generally two kinds or two manifestations of tongues, private prayer language and a public tongue. Private prayer language is the ability to just come into his presence with an unknown language, and where your spirit is praying and connecting with his spirit in a way that sort of bypasses your understanding of language. But in that, then your spirit comes into this deep connected place with his spirit, and it brings a change to the atmosphere around you. I can walk past somebody and I can tell that they're praying in tongues because I sense the spirit that's on them. And then there's a public tongue where someone might stand up to the church and give a tongue in another language. But we also know from pretty much the whole context of 1 Corinthians 14 is that then there has to be an interpretation of that tongue so that it's meaningful and means something to the church. Paul goes on in that whole chapter 14 about if it doesn't mean anything, don't do it. I'd rather have you say two intelligent words than to babble on in tongues for hours, he says. But tongues is an important part of bringing in the atmosphere of God and bringing in a power. Tongues is really strangely, uniquely helpful in doing deliverance. When I do a deliverance with somebody, if there's a team of people with me, I have everyone who has the gift of tongues pray in tongues while I'm doing the deliverance. And just beginning to pray in tongues irritates the demon because it brings in that atmosphere. It brings in that presence. Interpretation of tongues. This is a unique standalone gift. Some people will just have that gift, that ability to understand those other tongues, those other languages, again, both known and unknown languages. I've heard great stories of how somebody was in a certain situation and just instantly had the ability to understand another known language. That's a God-given gift by the Holy Spirit. But we need that gift in operation in the church. There's a great story that came out of the vineyard of Stafford, Texas, from a number of years ago. There was a woman who was in severe crisis. She was driving down the interstate. She didn't know what to do. She saw the sign for the vineyard, and the Lord just spoke to her heart and said, go there. And so she pulled in. She ran into the lobby of the vineyard and began to talk frantically in Spanish. Well, the receptionist who was sitting there got up and began to converse with her in Spanish. The senior pastor heard all the commotion from his office, and he comes out, and he's like, what's going on? And the receptionist's like, well, this woman's in distress. She needs help. And the senior pastor's like, I didn't know you spoke Spanish. And the woman went, I don't. That's pretty cool. And it's supposed to be in the church. Verse 28, we're going to jump down to verse 28. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, then also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Now, Paul begins to talk about offices here. He adds this function or offices, apostles, prophets. I'm not going to get into that today. I want to stick to gifts for today. I talked a little bit about those offices last week. But he adds two more gifts here, helps and administration. And with helps, the way it's structured in the Greek, the word gift is implied. That happens a lot more in Greek, where there are things that are there by implication that we don't necessarily do in English. But so it's the gift of help and it's the gift of administration. Now, here's the thing. I've seen this gift, it's a supernatural gift. The gift of helps is no different supernaturally than the gift of healing or the gift of discerning spirits. What I've seen happen, sadly, is some people will look at the gift of helps and goes, well, that seems really tame and docile and safe, so I'll say I have that gift. But this is still a supernatural gift, and I didn't realize how supernatural it was until we had a power encounter in Mozambique 2 years ago. I had just taught on gifts for some time, and then we were going to do a time of impartation where I called out the gifts one by one very slowly, healing, prophecy, words of knowledge, and then I just allowed the Holy Spirit to touch people as I called out each one. And the church was just packed. It was just full of people. And I got to helps. I called out helps. There was an old man right in the front row that raised his hand. And I thought, well, I can reach him. I can get to him. I can't get out into the crowd because there was no microphone, so I'm just shouting. And so I put my hand on this old man's shoulder, and I just said, come, gift of helps. And he was immediately thrown into, how would you describe it? It looked like someone had maybe taken a huge knife or a dagger and stabbed him in his throat. Because all of a sudden he grabbed right here and he just began writhing in pain. I just stepped back and I looked at that and I went, really? The gift of helps. Wow. Satan so doesn't want this man to have the gift of helps, he's trying to kill him right here in front of me. Oh, I should probably do something about this. So I put my hands on his hands. I rebuked it, commanded it to stop. It did, and then he was filled with the gift of helps. It was an absolute power encounter. So don't think that the gift of helps is just something safe. These are all supernatural. The same with the gift of administration, which is the next one that he lists. The gift of administration, it's like a Daniel. It's like a King David. It's somebody that knows how to, it's like a Joseph. It's somebody that knows how to immediately govern large amounts of territory or people or things. The people with the gift of administration can just touch money and it'll multiply. You put money under their care and it just multiplies. Do you think we need that in the church? How many churches are just hanging on by a thread? They need someone with the gift of administration just to touch that stuff. All their systems begin to work and their money begins to multiply. You see, this is how God intended the church to be. This is how we're supposed to live every day. We're not supposed to struggle under the strain of struggle. We're supposed to struggle under the strain of contending for the things and the power of God to come. Verse 28. No, probably verse 29. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have the gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? You see, we won't all have the same gift, but all the gifts are to be in the church. He talks about this more later in the chapter where he goes into the church as a body. And the big toe is important as the head. You know, you can't walk without a big toe. We're not all going to have the same gifts, but we will all have a gift. As I talked about last week, if you don't identify with at least one gift, then you identify with a lie. But here's the thing. You will probably have more than one of the gifts because the gifts will work in cooperation with each other. The story that I shared earlier about the woman at the chamber mixer. So I'm staying there in the middle of a business meeting, talking to this professional woman who's representing her company. And as I'm talking to her, I get a visual word of knowledge. I see flaring red paint on her shoulder. And so I just called it out. I said, "Do you have pain in your shoulder?" She went, "Oh, yeah, the pain shoots down my back. Sometimes it'll go all the way into my leg, but it's here in my shoulder." I'm like, "Well, can I pray for it right now?" And she was so stunned. She's like, "Sure." So in the middle of this business meeting, I put my hand on her shoulder and I start to pray for it. Then the Lord gives me a second word of knowledge that it's actually a demonic spirit. So in the meeting, I take my hand and on her shoulder I go, "Get off!" She was instantly healed. All the pain left. But it was words of knowledge working in conjunction with the gift of healing, living in the Spirit day to day because I'm at a business meeting at the Chamber of Commerce. That woman became my best evangelist. For like the next 6 months, I would just step foot inside a chamber meeting and she would bring people to me. "Hey, have him pray for you." That's what it is to live in your gifts every day. Living in the Spirit every day. Verse 31. We covered this briefly last week, but I'll hit it again because it's so good. "But eagerly desire the greater gifts." It literally should be translated, "burn with zeal." That's what the Greek says. Burn with zeal. And you know, Paul says burn with zeal for this actually twice. He says it again. 1 Corinthians 14:1. But the Lord puts his exclamation point on that. Every time I've ever actually instructed, done like a full teaching on the gifts and how to operate in it, and then we have a Holy Spirit-led time of impartations where we just say, "Lord, you come and you impart," he showed up like a bomb every time. I've seen him just nuke people with gifts. You see, he really, really, really wants us to have this. It's what Jesus died on the cross for. It's why the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit didn't come to give us a warm fuzzy. I read a book once that said the Holy Spirit's only job was to prick the consciousness for salvation at the preaching of the word. That so limits the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit could only convict someone towards salvation if the word was preached. I'm pretty sure the Holy Spirit came for more than that. Now, I'm pretty sure that this is a big, important part of what he came for. Empowering the church to live in the kingdom day to day. People will look at the world and look at the trials and the tribulations and the struggles and the pain and the suffering and they'll be like, "Where is God? If God is real, why didn't he take care of this?" He did. He did. He sent the Holy Spirit to live in you. You're his plan to take care of that. He sent the Holy Spirit to live in you. He empowered you with at least one of these gifts to go solve every problem that exists out there. So what happened? Life? Busyness? Fear? The American way? Seriously, you go spend some time in a third world country and you don't have the same distractions. Mariano's isn't across the street in Mozambique. We eat chicken and rice every day. That's all there is. And you catch the chicken first, by the way. True story. All right, Romans 12 real quick. I love the fact that he talks about gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. I love how after gifts in Corinthians, he talks about love. After gifts in Romans, he talks about love. Romans 12:6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. He starts out by talking about how it is his grace, again, God's grace, but according to the grace given us, the measure of grace given us, and then we do it in proportion to our faith. So the gift comes to us from God as a gift of grace. He gives at different levels. We use the gift according to our faith, but guess what? Faith is a muscle. If I want bigger muscles, I lift bigger weights. I got to put down the 2-pound dumbbells and pick up some 10 pounds. And then some 15, and then some 20, and then some 25. It's the same with gift. If we stay with the 2-pound dumbbell, we will always exercise that level of faith. But we can press into, we can steward well the gift that was given. We can use it according to the faith we have. And then we can ask the Lord, take me to the next level. It's a prayer I pray all the time. Lord, take me to the place that you need me to be so that I can operate at the next level in this, or at the next level of this, or for this. One of the things we put on our big board back there was to hit attendance of 200. And so I pray that almost daily, Lord, make me the kind of leader that you can trust with 200 people. Take any of your gifting. If you have the gift of, say, healing, Lord, take me, make me the kind of person that you can trust with a greater gift of healing. You see, that's how you exercise the faith muscle to grow in the gift. Make me the kind of person that you can trust with the greater gift of prophecy. Because he'll adjust your character and your nature first before he gives you the increase in the gift. If he gave you the increase in the gift first, you would either shipwreck it or it would kill you. So you start by asking him to change you so he can give you the greater measure of the gift. Paul here introduces 6 more gifts: serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy. I don't have time to go into them in great detail, but of course we need these gifts in the church. Some of you have heard the story of how we got so deeply involved in missions. It's a long story that I won't share, but the gist of it is the Lord brought a first-time visitor to our church who had the gift of giving. And he heard us talking about mission, and he hands me a check for $50,000. You see, the church needs people with that gift, and it's a supernatural gift. It's a spirit-empowered gift. They give at levels that boggle the mind of other people. Or serving, the gift of serving. We're talking about supernatural-level serving. As I was thinking about these gifts, and I was trying to think of people that I know that represent this with serving, I thought of Grazi. And then again, he ends both 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 talking about love. We, of course, exercise all of these gifts as we practice love. He says that if we do any of these gifts without love, we're just a clanging cymbal. I love that. We get to go and take the goodness. We get to go and take the fullness of what heaven is. Everything that Jesus bought and paid for, we take it with Holy Spirit's help. We go and we deliver it to a lost and dying world and say, we love you. Have some heaven. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the church that looks like that. Delivering the kingdom of God from a place of love. Amen? Living in the Spirit is taking the things that God has given us and incorporating it into every minute of everyday life. Doesn't matter where you work. Doesn't matter about any of that other stuff. You take your gifts with you all the time. You use them all the time. Constantly be in tune to what the Spirit is doing. Amen? I'm hoping Amy is coming back because I'm done. Yes. I'm finishing. She left the room. I thought, oh boy.